Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from LCP Delta. I'm John Sloan.
And I'm Sandra Trittin. And together we are exploring how the energy transition is unfolding across Europe through conversations with guests from the leading edge of the transition.
Hello, and welcome to the episode. The energy transition is, in my view, and I imagine in most of you listening, your views, a one-way bet. But it won't be necessarily a smooth path from here to a decarbonized, sustainable future. And one illustration of that is what's going on in the EV or electric vehicle sector today. So I'm going to play with metaphors a bit to explore this bump in the road in the EV journey or the journey to decarbonizing transport. I'm joined by two colleagues at LCP Delta, Kate Armitage and Ollie McHugh. Hello, Kate.
Hi, John.
And hi, Ollie.
Hello, John.
So you may or may not want to play with my bump in the road metaphor, but let's start by exploring what's actually going on with EV sales at the moment, because for people that are not immersed in the sector, you see more and more EV models available, more EV cars on the road, more charge point. It looks like everything's going swimmingly. So help us understand a bit about this bump in the road. What is it? What does it look like? Why it's there? Kate, do you want to start off?
Yeah, there's been a kind of change in wind direction in the last, I would say, 6 to 12 months, where there's been a lot more negative commentary in the press about EVs, and some stories that the press have picked up on, you know, VW have had to stop production in some of their factories. Actually, their supply chain problems rather than lack of sales as such. But generally speaking, the naysayers seem to be winning the discussion or getting the airtime at the moment with electric vehicles. And it's having a kind of ripple effect. We have seen a downturn. There's no escape in that. There's still growth, but it's not as aggressive as we'd expected it to be. Your analogy, John, a bump in the road, is exactly how I see this. And it's quite dangerous to look at 1 month sales or last quarter of 1 year when there are macroeconomic trends in play as well.
So Ollie, just give us a sense of some of the numbers then. Maybe not a downturn, but a slowdown in growth. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kate does highlight a slightly negative picture over the past 6-12 months, but make no mistake, we still see strong growth in EVs out to 2035. We're expecting 120 million EVs on the road by 2035 in Europe, 60 million by 2030. So the end result of where we're going is quite clear. It's just the shape of the curve to actually get there. So battery electric vehicles did increase by 28% from 2022 to 2023 in Europe. That's 2 million sales in the past year. Compare this to the overall market, the overall car market only increased by around 13%. So BEVs are definitely one of the sort of fastest growing fuel types out there. But I think we're not experiencing the same levels of growth that we were 2-3 years ago that everybody got excited about after COVID, which is why we started seeing these slightly negative news articles and negative feeling around the industry.
Okay. So what if we were in the 20% now in growth? We were higher than that in previous years?
I'd have to check the numbers, but yeah, it's likely.
Yeah.
And John, this is all part of scaling, isn't it? Because if I go back 8 years, the volume of battery electric vehicles that were sold was significantly lower than it is today. So to say that sales have doubled year on year is much easier to achieve when you're only talking about 100,000 vehicles. Well, now we're into the millions, of course. Doubling is a lot harder. And there are still scaling up issues with manufacturing as well. So it's the market's, in some ways, the market is growing as fast as it can.
What's the mood in the sector then amongst maybe the car manufacturers or the charge point manufacturers, people involved in the ecosystem? Yeah, did they see this coming? Are they surprised? Are they riding it through? Is it causing a bit of turbulence?
It's a very good question. I think it's definitely a challenging time for industry, particularly for the charge point manufacturers. So as mentioned, many of them scaled up production, scaled up sort of staff coming out of COVID. they saw more of a supply constrained market where they couldn't sell the kit quick enough. Now we're approaching a more of a demand constrained market. So you factor that in with other pressures such as supply chain pressures, and the fact that scaling a home charge point solution across Europe is difficult. Entering different markets across Europe can be really complex. And we've seen real issues from players such as Easy, who come into issues in Europe and actually been banned from selling in some countries. And so you combine those factors all together with softer sales from the past year, and we see a slightly more challenging market ahead over the next 2 to 3 years.
It's quite a change of environment, isn't it, from that supply constrained, I can sell whatever I can produce, my challenge is production, to I built all this capacity, oh, blimey, how do I find more customers?
And there's so much competition out there as well, John. So, you know, they're definitely chasing business, there's no doubt about that. And I think the honeymoon is over. Okay, so the money has flown into this, has come into this sector, billions of pounds worth of investment. And now those investors are saying, right, well, where's my return? So, it's just much more commercial. It's much less about being innovative, getting out there, building a brand. And it's much more about, I want to see my money back, please.
It's about the execution now.
And with a lot of pressure from manufacturers going from China, producing cheaper models as well, ChargePoint manufacturers in Europe are really starting to have to differentiate their product from the rest of the market to show why customers should be buying their product.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe this is almost an inevitable phase of the market development, from sort of the market creation phase is the right word, but the market really getting going, it being huge opportunity, sell whatever you make, into a bit of a shakedown in the market. And maybe ultimately that's not difficult if you're in the middle of that, but the companies that come out of this and come through this will help then drive that long-term growth only that you mentioned at the beginning, because the long-term future is absolutely crystal clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is probably mirrored in other markets that are at a similar stage. I personally think we're going to see quite a lot of consolidation over the next few years as market players, perhaps, who don't make it, get bought up by other players. We saw the acquisition of ABL and Wallbox. Now, there's a different reasons for this. It could be for Wallbox wanting to actually enter the German market, but they did get by them market staying at quite a cheap rate. So it could be sort of signs of just general market consolidation and people looking for a solution.
Is the shape of the growth curve just now slower than it was? Are we on a different trajectory? Or do you think in the next year or two, we'll see sales pick up again? I've not brought the crystal ball out yet, so maybe it should be a question for later, but what's your views and what's the sort of mood in the market? How long will this bump in the road last for? Is it one speed bump to get over, or is it a whole series of speed bumps over the next years?
It's such a good question, John. There are so many facets to it in terms of the kind of manufacturing, the investment, but then also this consumer behaviour, consumer attitude. And of course, this whole switch towards ultra low emission vehicles, of which at the moment battery electric is the outright winner, that has been driven by legislation. And we need those governments, and we need the EU to stay strong and stay resolute in all of this and not send out confusing signals. I'm thinking very much about what we saw happening in the UK last year with the government pulling back their ambitions to ban petrol and diesel, new sales of petrol and diesel cars by 2030. That's now been pushed back to 2035. All of these different factors are in play, and we just need to double down and be absolutely resolute as an industry and as a country and as a continent and as a planet that, you know, this has to happen. This must happen, and it has to happen quickly. So, you know, the optimist in me says, let's stop examining month-on-month sales and look forward and be positive and really be resolute in what we're going to deliver.
So, Kate, your view, it is a bump, it's a slowdown, it's still growing, it's a slowdown in the growth, but you feel that the drive for that growth is still continuing, and we'll look back on this as a bump rather than a fundamental change.
That's definitely my view, yeah.
Well, yeah, how about you?
As I said, I think some challenging times ahead for players in the industry. It's difficult to predict what the future speed bumps may be, but I'd be very surprised if there weren't any others before we hit that 2035 target. I think the industry is just affected mainly by the macroeconomic events that we've all seen and other industries are facing as well. But as Kate says, sort of customer acceptance is a really important one here. We may see a slight softening of customer demand in the short term, but we're seeing way more interesting products and solutions and tariffs coming out that can really help with engaging customers to make the switch to electric.
That's an interesting point, because with companies like BYD bringing their models to Europe, model availability and brand availability is widening. As you say, tariffs are getting smarter. People can drive more cheaply. So there's a lot of oomph still behind the next few years, isn't there? A lot of things that will just keep pushing this market forward. One thing I think is interesting is you could make an argument that people like me who bought electric vehicles, innovators, early adopters have. And there's a famous book, I don't know if either of you have read it, called Crossing the Chasm. It basically illustrates how some innovations get stuck in innovators and early adopters, and they never cross this chasm to the majority market, and they end up in niche innovator early adopter markets. Now, I don't think long-term that's true of electric vehicles. I think they will definitely become mass market. In some countries, they already are mass market. But if I think about people with, like myself, I've got a driveway. It's quite easy to charge. There's a big chunk of the market that don't have driveways. So is part of the challenge at the moment that shift from the innovator early adopter market to the majority market, who are maybe less environmentally motivated or don't have off-street parking? So is that part of the reason for the slowdown, or not in your opinion? Interested in what you both say. Okay, do you want to go first, Ian?
So, John, you mentioned tariffs that make owning an EV more cost-effective. And it raises a really good challenge that we've had since the energy crisis and the rising cost of electricity. Because from a consumer point of view, it is the cost of running your electric vehicle has pretty much doubled since the electricity prices have spiked. And that is even if you have off-road parking at home and you're able to use a time-of-use tariff, even those off-peak tariffs are still significantly higher. And then when you look at people who haven't got access to a home charging, which is significantly cheaper, and you're at the mercy of public charging, then you are going to pay a lot more for your electricity than you would have done 3 years ago. So it's definitely a factor. It's definitely a factor. And in cases, it is quite difficult to look people in the eye and say, yes, you'll save money if you switch to an electric vehicle, if they're 100% dependent on public charging.
And do you think we're seeing that shift now where people who don't have off-street parking, who can't charge at home, are starting to buy electric vehicles in a big way? Or is that still, that part of the market still largely not buying electric vehicles?
I think that the vast majority of vehicle sales go to people with off-street parking, and I think it's around 85% of EV drivers in the UK, and perhaps a little bit lower in Europe, do have the ability to park and charge at home. But as you say, John, there are solutions out there for those who don't have access to a driveway at home. We see only around 30% of EV drivers charge at work, yet 3/4 of EV drivers can park at work. So there's definitely scope here for those drivers who can't charge at home to have the ability to charge at work. Slow AC charging is a really cheap solution, and if your car's parked at work for 8 hours a day, it makes sense. The other barriers, I think, have been highlighted on a previous podcast, include the multifamily home market. Mm. I know there's a lot of attention in France at the moment, and even some funding going into addressing this solution in the French market. And I think it was Teddy from Weibo who was talking about all the load balancing solutions. But again, that's quite a complex solution because all the different players involved, the owner of the building versus the employer versus the the resident, etc. And then the one that I'm really interested in is those that don't have the ability to charge at home, but continue to use their vehicle like they would with a petrol or diesel vehicle. So just going to a rapid charger once a week. Now, from a behavioural point of view, this would make sense for most people because it's similar to filling up a petrol or a diesel car. We've seen a big emergence in these ultra-rapid charge point installations all across Europe, and EV drivers do like them because it charges the battery quicker. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen in this space, and will EV drivers perhaps just go to the supermarket once a week and use a rapid to top up, similar like they would do with their petrol or diesel cars. It's not the cheapest option. As we all know, rapid charges are more expensive. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens going forward with that.
I guess what you're saying there, Owen, is that there is a whole range of solutions for people that don't have off-street parking, that can't charge at home. We're in relatively early days in most markets of this, but there's a lot of people creating those solutions for these types of customers.
Yeah, absolutely.
One other aspect of the electric vehicle market isn't talked about too much, but I think it's quite interesting, is trucks. So if you live in a European city, you may be seeing more and more electric buses. Buses return to depot, the charging straightforward. 5 years back, I think a lot of the thinking was, well, electric trucks, hydrogen is going to be better for trucks. But we're seeing a lot more developments with electric trucks. And I think it'd be interesting for our listeners just to get a snapshot of where that's at. Is it early days? Is it moving forward quickly? What sort of trucks? Okay, do you want to give us some thoughts on, not a niche, but part of the EV
market? Oh, John, I'm so glad you asked, because it's one of my favourite topics, to be honest with you. I'm going to start with trucks make up 2% of road transport. And when I say trucks, I'm talking about vehicles that are above 3.5 tonnes. So it's quite a broad spectrum. They make up 2% of the vehicles on our roads in Europe, but are responsible for almost 30% of all the emissions. So from an environmental perspective...
30%? Wow.
30%. So from a logical, from a mathematical perspective, we would have started with trucks rather than with passenger cars. But of course, the battery technology wasn't good enough. But the battery technology has developed, and you're absolutely right. Every year that goes on, that all trucks, will it be hydrogen, will it be battery, is that discussion is starting. There's a bit of a gap emerging here, because we've definitely seen the truck market take off. Still early days, so I would liken it to 2011, 2012 with the passenger car market in Europe, and there are definitely some markets.
What, in that not many models available,
yeah.
Or is the supply of the products an issue still?
Not many models, low volume manufacturing. The sales that are being made are still very much, maybe not demonstration projects as in government funded, but the companies that are taking these vehicles are taking them in maybe ones or twos, slightly more sometimes.
They're testing them out. Yeah.
They want to understand the technology and prove their business case.
So what about the charging, Kate? Is it still depot charging or charge points or different charge speeds? Help us understand the charging of electric trucks a bit more.
So we see that there are three different places or three different types of charging. So you mentioned depot charging, John. That's definitely going to emerge first. That's the more controllable for the fleets who are operating these vehicles. We also see that there will be growth in transit charging. That is also starting. So there's a consortium of truck OEMs who have created a company called Mylance. And for those who are involved in the industry, this is the equivalent of Ionity for passenger cars. So they've come together, created a pot of money, and are building out truck charging infrastructure across Europe. They went live with their first charging station at the end of last year, but their plans for growth are quite dramatic. And we've also seen the oil majors, so Shell, BP and Aral coming into this market as well. And we're expecting that the third location will be what we call third party or destination. So a truck that is regularly visiting the same customers or the same suppliers will look for charging infrastructure there. So it's not necessarily within their own depot, but that will facilitate them running these vehicles. That sector is slightly slower to emerge, but we are seeing some activity there.
These charging hubs, Kate, these must be pretty high power when you add up the chargers and the power of the chargers. They'll be quite power hungry, won't they?
Yeah, and that's why I think it's a small but very interesting segment. So we already have a charging standard, which is called across Europe, which is called CCS, which will charge vehicles up to 350 kilowatts. And for a lot of trucks, particularly urban and regional trucks, that is more than sufficient. But we also have a new standard that's being developed called the megawatt charging system, which goes from 350 kilowatts up to 3.5 megawatts. So, and that standard the standard has been written and agreed. Prototypes are being developed and tested now. That's for road transport, but also for marine and aviation. So it has a bigger audience as well. Not being used in Anger yet in public charging, but that's where we see it will go. It'll go into transit charging. Milence have already said that they will switch across to MCS once the standard is stable.
Oh, I can see some electricity network companies getting quite nervous about these huge power draws that are going to be needed for these hubs.
I mean, it's a real issue in general, connections for charge points across Europe generally. But again, there are some solutions to this. We're seeing sites paired with battery storage to really help the distribution grid. So it's an interesting space to follow.
Well, there's no shortage of things to keep you both busy, Kate and Ollie, in your work analysing these markets. Let's bring out the talking energy crystal ball now. And I'm going to set the dial not too far in the future, because I think the long-term future for EVs is quite easy. It's the journey to that's maybe harder. So let's set the dial for 3 years ahead, so 2027. And I'd like you each to give me an observation. It could be the mood music, it could be growth rates, anything you want about the EV sector in 3 years' time. If we're on a bump in the road now, what will it look like in 3 years' time? Ollie, do you want to go first and then Kate?
It's a difficult question, John. Obviously, as you say, the longer term view is the easier one. But yeah, I think over the next 3 years, it will be tricky for industry, as I've already mentioned. We are still anticipating a doubling of EV sales across Europe. So there is going to be still some growth there. I think more generally, we'll see more and more interesting propositions for EV drivers in terms of their tariffs, and perhaps pairing those with public charging bundles as well. And I'm really interested to see how the behaviour of EV drivers will change as we approach that mass market. I do predict we'll see more sort of ultra-rapid charging usage occur as people treat them a bit more like petrol and diesel cars.
Well, it'll be fascinating to see in our annual tracker survey of EV drivers how those patterns change year on year. Thanks, Ollie. Kate, your view of 3 years in the future. We're in 2027. What does it feel and look like?
I'm going to stick with trucks, John. I kind of alluded to the fact that I said that the truck industry was 5 years ago. But the acceleration in trucks is going to come much quicker because a lot of the technology is already in place. The understanding of the battery technology, a lot of the supply chain is already there. So I think we'll see a dramatic uptick in both medium and heavy duty trucks on our road within the next 3 years.
Well, that 30% of our transport emissions or road transport emissions number, that's my stat of the week, Kate. That's really stuck in my head.
It's bonkers, isn't it?
We better leave it there for today. So Ollie, Kate, thanks so much for your time and sharing your thoughts and expertise today. Thanks as always to everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed this view of the EV sector today and where it's going in the next years, and look forward to welcoming you back next week. Thanks and goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in. We are excited to bring you captivating conversations from the leading edge of Europe's energy transitions. If you've got suggestions for topics or guests for future episodes, please let us know.
And if you're enjoying the podcast, then please do rate it and share it with colleagues. For show notes, transcripts, and more, please visit lcpdelta.com.